Good morning. This is John Richardson speaking to you from Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, October the 19th, 2020. Today's podcast will focus on a very special announcement, and that announcement is and includes a description of a new formal organization designed to provide education and focus on the goal of ending the policy of the United States imposing worldwide taxation on residents of other countries. So this should be an organization that would unite all affected so-called U.S. person individuals, American expatriates, American immigrants, green card holders, accidental Americans, the works. And with me today, I have Karen Alpert in Australia, David Johnston in France, and Laura Snyder in France, all of whom are part of the group, which has come together to form SEAT, which is an acronym for Stop Extraterritorial American Taxation Now. I am also part of the group, as are Keith Redman, who many of you know, and Suzanne Herman in Vancouver, British Columbia. So, welcome to all, and let me begin with Karen. Welcome, Karen, and what can you tell our listeners about the focus, scope, objectives, dreams of this new organization?
Thanks, John. Yeah, it's about time we had an organization that focused exclusively on these tax issues. I mean, there's plenty of other organizations who talk about it, who do things, you know, run surveys, whatever. But they all have something else that they're doing as well. They either a political party or something else. So this group is focused entirely on the tax issues and educating both the public at large and the decision makers in Washington and in other capitals around the globe as to why this if this is a problem that the U.S. is taxing the tax residents of other countries.
And to be clear, this is entirely nonpartisan, no affiliation with any political party whatsoever. Karen, I think many of our listeners do know you, but could you take a second and provide a little bit of your background and what brings you to this?
Yeah, so I run a website called fixthetaxtreaty.org, which is focused on similar issues, but from an Australian point of view. I'm a U.S. immigrant. I left the U.S. over 20 years ago to move to Australia, where I've decided to integrate myself financially into the economy here, which means I really can't be a U.S. citizen anymore. Due to these extraterritorial laws that the U.S. has. And so I have renounced my U.S. citizenship.
Well, thank you for that. So you're living proof of what we're trying to work on. David, could you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yeah, John. So I'm David Johnston. I have been living in Paris, France for the last 18 years. I was actually born abroad to American parents as well. So although I have only U.S. citizenship, I have spent more than far more than half of my life living outside the U.S. For a long time, I was working in finance in Paris for an English bank. And then in the last few years, I have become disabled. So I'm no longer working. And so I've become interested in these issues in this new organization because of the impact that extraterritorial taxation, U.S. Citizenship-based taxation has on me. So I literally have a choice between fulfilling my tax filing obligations every year and having a chance for recovery. When learning about the issues that I had to file correctly when I became disabled, I found that other people were in the same situation as me, and nobody knew what the rules were, and a lot of people like me ended up having to pay taxes that they didn't know because nobody knows the rules that apply to non-working individuals living abroad. So be that retirees, disabled people, welfare recipients, and so forth. So I saw that there was a need for any organization looking at this to also have some input from people who aren't working and aren't receiving the earned income, as the U.S. Describes it, because they're really the forgotten of the forgotten, shall we say. So that's why I ended up wanting to participate in this organization.
Well, thank you very much for that. And I've seen a lot of the things that you've written over the years, and you've, you know, made the case for ending these U.S. tax policies in a magnificent way. And, you know, when I think of your situation, it seems to me that the easiest way to put it is that in your case, you know, we want to stop the United States basically taxing the welfare and disability benefits that people in other countries receive. Is that accurate?
Yes. I mean, it's been not just for not just that. I mean, it's all stages of life, so that it would even help people who are working, although they have the earned income exclusion. It would help people because as they're working abroad, they accumulate these sorts of benefits that end up getting double taxed, triple taxed, quadruple taxed under the current rules. So it's a little bit broader than just
absolutely. But what I was suggesting is that as this has applied to your situation is, you know, a particularly troubling manifestation of the improper use of taxation.
Oh yeah, it's I wouldn't say, I mean
it's pure evil.
Dilemma for me. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for that. Now, many of our listeners will, I think, know Laura Snyder. Laura's done some fantastic work the last couple of years in her role with the IRS committee and otherwise. But, Laura, if you could take a moment and introduce yourself and what brings you to this.
Hi, John. Well, I've been living overseas since 1995, and with each passing year, I've come to understand more and more the problems that these laws present, until it kind of reached a breaking point with me where I realized that these were absolutely crippling laws that weren't allowing me to do the things I wanted to do, that were draining my bank account very quickly just from paying the fees to have my returns prepared, and that I realized that these were going to be huge problems for my kids. And I didn't want my kids to feel that they had to renounce their U.S. citizenship in order to live normal lives. And that's actually quite a driving factor for me, which I think makes me quite patriotic.
I don't know anybody more patriotic than you, Laura.
That might be true. What else do I need to say? Oh, so I... am currently serving a 3-year term with the Taxpayer Advocacy Panel, which is a federal advisory committee to the IRS. When you're appointed, it is for a 3-year term. So right now I'm in my second year, and next year, starting in January, will be my third and final year. So that's actually been a very good thing to give me some insight into some of the IRS issues and how the IRS a little bit of insight into how the IRS works and how it serves, does or does not serve overseas taxpayers.
Well, you know, when you were appointed, my thought was, well, that's just about the best thing that could happen both for that committee and for Americans abroad. And, you know, your work has been phenomenal, and you certainly have more than lived up to my expectations on that. So thank you very much for all your fantastic work. Maybe we could talk for a moment in sort of a broad sense of what would be we know the broad objective of SEAT as an organization, But what can people expect, for example, when they go to the website, which is seatnow.org? What can they expect in terms of how we're going to try to educate people and who would be involved in these kinds of things, et cetera? Karen, can you help us with that?
Yeah, so the website is structured, it's got a blog, and so there will be regular blog posts as issues come up. There's some static pages, but really the education part is going to be on the wiki that we're creating. And if anybody wants to help create that, the wikis are crowdsourced, and we'd be we would welcome your contributions. But the general idea is to go and index all of the huge body of work that's been done by John in particular, but also on my blog and other blogs around where people have discussed various parts of this issue and try and get a holistic picture of what the problems are and why they exist.
Right. You know, interestingly, there was an article, I think it was either Friday or Saturday in the Wall Street Journal, which was not a bad article, talking about the renunciation of citizenship. But, you know, once again, I think it's very clear to me that people who haven't lived this have absolutely no idea what the real problem is here. You know, Right. Namely the way I see it, that those who try to comply with these U.S. tax laws are basically forced to renounce because they can't both comply with these U.S. tax laws and live any kind of normal life outside the United States.
Right. Especially if you want to save for retirement.
Oh, absolutely. Or, you know, to put it another way, I think that it's bad, okay, but it's not crippling if, you know, you just have a salary and nothing more that's taxed at a reasonably high tax rate outside the United States. But, you know, as you move through life and try to transition from living on income to living from capital, it becomes somewhere between difficult and impossible, depending on perhaps what the existing tax treaties are that vary from country to country. And of course, in your case, Karen, the Australian one is may very well be the worst of all tax treaties. Yeah. It's astounding,
especially when it comes to retirement savings. Yes.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, actually, I realize I haven't introduced myself. So my name is John Richardson. I have lived almost all of my life in Canada. Although I'm, you know, consumed with these problems and work on them all the time, I have not, you know, spent a lot of my life living in the United States. So I think I identify primarily as being a Canadian citizen, which I think anybody would who's lived outside the United States for that number of years. I am a lawyer, and what I do exclusively is help people who are affected by the problems of U.S. tax and extraterritorial overreach, which includes expatriation, green card abandonment. You know, expatriation means renunciation, and all other problems that are associated with this. I've been working on this as a personal project for at least a decade now, and I have written a large number of things on this. I'm also the co-chair of the Alliance for the Defense of Canadian Sovereignty, which has managed to launch and continue the first anti-FATCA lawsuit outside the United States, and that case is currently before the Federal Court of Appeal in Canada. You can find me at citizenshipsolutions.ca. So we're going to have on the site a large educational component for both media, governments, or I shouldn't say both, for media, governments, individuals. But a large part of being effective in this way is to understand the situations of the people affected by these problems. And along with announcing this organization, we will launch it effectively with a survey coming from Laura Snyder, who is in charge of all surveys. And Laura, can I turn this over to you and ask you to talk about this survey a little bit, who it's aimed at, what your expectations are, and what you hope to be able to learn, and what CETA's organization can do with it?
Okay, thanks, John. So who we would like to have participate in the survey is basically nearly everyone living outside the United States who either are or not affected by these issues. What do I mean by that? I mean that there's a lot of Americans living overseas who actually don't feel affected by these issues. I would invite them to also participate in the survey. I think their participation is important. But generally, who am I speaking about? I'm speaking about current U.S. citizens. I'm speaking about former U.S. citizens, as in people who have renounced their U.S. citizenship. I'm speaking about green card holders, former green card holders, people who identify as being accidental Americans, and also the spouses or partners of all of those people. They also feel affected by these issues and often are affected by these issues. And so there is a part of the survey that is specific for them, just like there's a part of the survey that's specific for people who have renounced their citizenship and a part of the survey specific for accidental Americans. So that's a very broad group of people. What we want to do, the survey itself is pretty detailed. It asks a lot of questions about the experiences people have had with respect to U.S. taxation, and a lot of details about experiences people have had with respect to FATCA and FBAR and banking outside the United States. We also ask some questions about demographics so that we have a better understanding of just who Americans and former Americans and green card holders and accidental Americans, kind of who they are. There's not a lot of information about that. And there's one more thing, is there's a lot of text boxes in the survey, in that often the participant is invited to express themselves by telling a story of what's happened to them or expressing their emotions or their feelings about something. So there's a lot of opportunities in the survey just to say how you feel about something. And what we'd like to do with this information is, of course, collect the data and prepare a report so that anyone can consult that explains, okay, here are the experiences that the people who participated in our survey have had and are having with respect to these issues.
And Laura, am I right in saying, I think this is important to emphasize, if you agree, that this is absolutely is and is intended to be a completely nonpartisan survey, correct?
Of course. I mean, SEED is totally nonpartisan, and of course, this survey has nothing to do. It's completely nonpartisan. It's completely independent of any person that practices tax compliance. Totally independent and totally focused on people and what their experiences are.
And that focus on people as individuals is for the purpose of, and only for the purpose of, doing what is necessary to change these U.S. tax policies of imposing worldwide taxation on people who are tax residents of other countries and do not live in the United States. Is that correct?
Absolutely, John.
Okay. I mean, yes. I think that is so, so important, because to the best of my knowledge, although there's a lot of, there's a lot of discussion of this type of stuff, I don't believe there is any other organization that both does not have connections to political parties or the compliance community and is solely focused on this objective. So certainly, we hope that you will participate. Laura has said it's very, very long, but if you're an American citizen living outside the United States, you're probably used to filling out long forms anyway.
Well, wait. I don't think it's very, very long. It's just maybe longer than your average survey. That's all.
And it's got separate sections for all of these different types of people. So if you're not an accidental American, you're not going to see all the accidental American questions.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
When you look at the survey, the raw survey, it may look really long, but what each individual participant sees is not going to be nearly that long.
And I think it's also important to emphasize a lot of surveys that you might get, say, in a commercial context, asking you to give your opinion about something and asking you to rank things. There's none of that in this survey. These are very factual questions. You know, something is either true or it's not true. So you don't have to think that hard to answer many of these questions. Maybe when you're asked to comment on something and type text, presumably there you would want to give it some thought, but you're not obliged to answer those questions either. But the questions that are not text questions are very factual. So, you know, you know the answer or you don't. You don't have to think about it that long. So for that reason, it should actually go relatively quickly.
Yeah, and it's just really, really important when we're trying to educate Congress or other countries or even other individuals. It's really important to have some hard data. And I know Laura did a survey a couple of years ago that covered many of the same things, but getting a longitudinal idea of how things are evolving is also very, very important. So this survey should provide us with some excellent ammunition in our quest to get rid of extraterritorial taxation by the Americans.
Right.
Yeah, I think that right now is a good time to do another survey. Because yes, we published one. We did one a couple of years ago, but I think it's very important to do these surveys on a regular basis to show A, the problems are still there, and B, to show how they either have or have not evolved over time.
Well, and I think, you know, we're around an election time right now, and there's a lot of talk about how, you know, a possible Biden victory, for example, could, again, upend the tax environment for Americans abroad. So, it's timely, it's important, but I think it needs to be seen on a granular level as too many people blow this stuff off, what I think doesn't matter, etc. It is important to get as much contribution as possible, and people need to see their contribution as a very significant part of the contribution to eventually getting some relief here and getting these laws changed, whether, by the way, on the congressional level or on the level of the administration treasury. Laura, Karen, and I have just published a paper in Tax Notes, which explains our view of how Treasury could, in fact, solve a lot of these problems, doing an in-run around Congress. But either way, whether it's Congress, whether it's Treasury, whether it's anybody else, they will respond only if they think there really is a problem. So without this information, from our point of view, it will just be, you know, almost theoretical discussion. I mean, we have to have firsthand evidence that these rules cause serious, calculable damage to individuals living outside the United States.
That's right, John.
What kind of, as from an organizational point of view for SEED, are we looking for members? Are we looking for followers? Are we looking for contributions? What is it we're looking for and expecting in return for all of this? Karen?
Yeah, so we're basically looking for followers. We'll create a mailing list so that we can let people know when we're doing things, when we want to do a letter writing campaign, if that's what we want to do, or whatever. But at the moment, we're not accepting members. We're not accepting donations. It's not a financial type of commitment that we're looking for from anyone.
Yeah, and I think that that's I think that that's good. I think it's important. That said, SEED is an organization that is a formal entity, okay, that exists. And maybe, Laura, you can elaborate on that a little bit.
Yes. We're registered in France as a 1901 association, which is basically a French not-for-profit.
Okay. All right. So here we are, a not-for-profit organization that's not seeking donations from anybody. What we are seeking is your support, your contributions in the sense of being willing to participate through contributions, perhaps comments on blog posts, etc. But that's what we're seeking at the moment. And on a personal note, I'm very, very proud to be able to be part of rolling this organization out in the company of people like Karen and Laura and others who have done such a fantastic job in providing the energy for this sorely needed initiative. So on that note, I have nothing more in particular that I want to add. Karen, Laura, anything else you want to add?
I would like to ask everyone who's listening to this to please do participate in the survey, and also please share the link to the survey to anyone and everyone you know who is eligible to participate in it, and yep. encourage them to participate.
When does the survey begin? When does it end?
Well, it's open right now. If you're listening to this, the survey's open right now, and we're going to close it on November 30th. And if you can't complete it all in one sitting, you probably will be able to. But in case you cannot, you'll be able to go back to it and finish it later.
Okay. And Karen, any closing words?
Just everybody do the survey, because we could really use the data to help educate everybody about what the problems are and that they still exist.
Okay, that's great. And you can find the new organization online at seatnow.org, SEATNOW.org, and seat is an acronym for Stop Extraterritorial American Taxation. And on that note, I think we can say goodbye for now, but we will be back with further updates, podcasts, etc. So to all of those listening, thank you. And to those participating, Karen, Lauren, and David, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Okay.
Thank you, John.